this is KD2DDK on for the TechNet. We'll be starting in a few minutes. For the technical net tonight at 9 p.m. For the Alpine repeater. And Gordon is busy tonight, so I'm going to try and handle through it just in case we have some important information business are going on. And that's typically involved with the amateur radio technique, ideas, computer stuff, and everything like that. If there's any emergency traffic, we will entertain that right away fast before we get on with anything else. Okay, I guess that's the right answer. Repeater sounds quiet. I may be talking to myself tonight for whatever reason. Yeah, that's, I'm getting a kickback, so we know we're getting out. Let's get started with the roll call, see who all is out there and what we need to talk about or what we'd like to talk about. And as Gordon says, you know, even if you don't have any questions or you plan on just listening, it's a good idea to let us know you're there so we can use your expertise to answer someone else's questions or, you know, keep the discussion at the level where you may like it. So I'm going to start right at the top of the alphabet with any alphas. Is there any alphas out there? W's? Any W's out there?
Yeah, good evening, Gary. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River. Just listening tonight.
Ah, Howie, very good. All right, very good. All right, you know, that's good. Listening is fine. Glad to have you aboard. Any other W's? Oh, boy, that was a bad copy for me. Can you try and stand lower there? I heard you out there, but I didn't quite make you out.
W2JEK, Don, with a comment. Over.
Good evening, Don. Yeah, we're ready for your comments, and we'll get you right up as soon as we do up the roll call there. They're welcome. Any other W's?
Cup Whiskey Uniform to Sierra, Randy, Washington Township, with a comment.
Hey, Randy, how you doing? Very good, very good. Okay, W is one more time.
W2NIW, good evening, Gary. Good evening, all. Nothing this evening, just hanging out and hoping to learn something.
Okay, Matt, wow. It looks like the whole 442 moved up. Okay. All right, we're still working on W's.
WI2W, Steve, with a comment.
Hi, Steve, how are you doing tonight? Very good. All right, we got comments. It's good. At least it'll last more than a half hour. All right, these still W's. They're coming in slow but sure here.
Whiskey 2, November Papa Radio. Hector, no questions or comments at this time.
Good evening, Hector. Very good. All right. Okay. I guess I'm going to still call for W's. As long as you guys keep coming in, I'll keep drawing you out of the woodwork. Okay.
Connected. N2OEL.
We got any N's out there? Sounds like I'm playing bingo.
N2IZE. I say good evening to the net. The name here is John, Yonkers, New York. And right now I have no questions or comments or anything like that, but I'll be listening in, and should anything come up, I'll throw in whatever expertise I have. So good evening, everybody. This is N2IZ, and I'll turn it back to net control.
Welcome, John, Yonkers, New York. Very good. Okay, we're still fishing for ends.
This is N2OEL, Kissimmee, Florida. Just listening.
Noel, how are you doing this evening? I didn't even hear you sneak in on Echolink. How did you manage that? I'm not monitoring it, but very good. Welcome aboard. Okay, let's see. Now, we're working our way up to the K's, and we'll do just like before, and we will, the first call will be for the straight K's. Any K's out there? Okay, let's expand the K's to the rest of the world. Any K's at all beyond the straight ones?
KG2EFG, Kilo Delta 2 Echo Foxtrot Juliet, this is Paul from Spring Valley. No questions or comments at this time.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing this evening? Okay. All right. Wow. Quick little group, and everybody's making a comment. Nobody has any questions, huh? Maybe we have to stir up a discussion of something of interest from a comment. Anybody else that hasn't checked in?
82AMI, Tony. Sorry, I missed the call-up. I have no questions and no comments at this time. Just listening. K2AMI.
Very good, Tony. Okay. Anybody else?
Kilo Bravo 2, Mike Alfa Romeo. In here's Gabe from Yonkers, and I have a question.
Okay, Mike, that's our first question for the evening. Mike, what was your call again? I'm writing here and taking notes as I'm going, and I think I missed up the last three letters.
A Kilo Bravo, Mike Alfa Romeo. Name here is Gabe.
That's where I got the mic from. Mike Alfa Romeo. Okay, very good. All right, and we'll get to your question shortly at the rate we're going here, because you're the first question. Anybody else? Oh, very good. All right, welcome everybody. I hope we have a decent net tonight. Gordon is busy, and he asked me to run it. It's been quite a while since I've been on, and I'm a little rusty, so bear with me as we go through this. K2JEK, Don, would you like to make your announcements at this time? You get precedence at the top of the list here.
Okay, Gary, K2DBK, K2BAR, and the net, W2JEK, good evening, everybody. Just announcing that VARA's next VE test session will take place on Friday, March the 21st at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. And I won't belabor all the details on it. If you need ID, if you don't have a license, bring your license and a copy of it. You need a social security number if you don't have a license, and $15 is the test fee. And if you want to use a calculator, it has to be empty. And other devices such as cell phones and iPods can't be used. I think that covered it. If anybody has any questions, you can come back now. Back to net, W2JEK.
Boy, very good, Don. Very good. Okay. Yeah, you got that down to a science now. It's almost like an automatic script. Anybody have any questions for Don about the VE session, Barra's VE session at the end of March there?
M2YZE with a question about the head session.
Go right ahead.
I'd just like to know when the next head session is coming up, because I have my general for well over a couple of decades, but thinking of upgrading to extra, taking the exam, and just wondering when you guys are going to be having the next session. I don't know if I'll be ready by then, but maybe I'll have to do the one after that, but just curious as to what the schedule is.
W2JK, we have it. so. Okay, next one after that is a Friday on April 25th. That's the fourth Friday in April, April 25th, and that's again 7 o'clock at the Westwood Regional High School. After that in May, our next one will be, that'll be the 24th of May, which is a Saturday at 8 o'clock. That's the day we're having our hamfest at the high school. So that'll be the one after that. We also have one in June, and that is currently, let me get the calendar open here, one hand. All right, June 20th, again, that's 7 p.m. It's a Friday night at the high school. So this is all on the internet, on the Barrow website, and it's all on the ARRL's website if you ever have any questions about it. Back to net, W2JK.
Thank you, Don. All right, we have the Barrow's test session strung out till June. All of them on the Friday evening, except for the one on Hamfest Day. I hope that helps you pick a good spot to take the extra.
To JK with one comment.
I'll mark those dates on my calendar, and hopefully as soon as I'm ready, I'll try to make it over there, or see what we can do. And it'd be nice to attend the Hamfest. I'll see if I can make that as well. So thanks for the info on that, and I'll also check out the website. So, I didn't get your call. I think that you said the name is Gary, so I'll turn it back to you there, Net Control. This is N2IZ. Thanks for answering my question, and I'll be listening.
W2JK.
KD2DDK, or we're using the K2PAR call sign for the Net2. Don, you had one other comment to throw in there.
Yes, the technician license pool, the question pool for the technician license will change as of July 1st. So any of the current study material will become obsolete. We will be getting new tests that will be used in July 1st and thereafter for 4 years. This is a 4-year cycle. So anything you're studying now, get with it and get to one of our test sessions before the end of June. Either our test session or somebody else's test session. But after that, you're going to have to get a whole new book and study all over again. So anybody's going for the tech, tell them to get with it. And I think there's enough differences in there that you may not have a successful test if you're not studying the right material. We've had this a number of times. Back to net, W2JEK.
Wow, okay, good news there, Don, good news. Okay, so if anybody out there has friends or relatives or whatever that's planning on doing their tech test, and you're going to lend them your old book, just make sure they get in to take the test before the questions change in July. Very good information there. Any other comments for Don or testing? Okay, very good. Thank you, Don. Thank you. Alright, we have a comment from WU2S. Randy, you're next on the comment list. What do you got for us?
Thanks, Gary, and good evening to everyone on the net. As I've mentioned in past weeks, I've been taking some of the courses on the FEMA.gov website for the incident management system, and I just wanted to report it. I've passed a number of them. The reason I mention this is that I've really come to a much greater appreciation of the amount of effort that our civil officials, law enforcement, fire department, political people put into emergency management in our towns and our counties. There's really quite a lot to be done even for providing public safety services to things like local scheduled events, parades and such. And so if you haven't looked at any of this, I certainly commend the courses to you, certainly give you an appreciation for what goes on behind the scenes and the amount of organization and structure it takes to put one of these things on so people can enjoy themselves safely. So I think it's a wonderful effort, and it gave me a new appreciation for the things that go on in our town and our county. I'd also like to mention that, let me drop it a moment, that regarding the broadband hamnet, I've had a contact from Keith, I forget his call sign, in Maryland, who's also trying to engage local people in the broadband hamnet, and so we'll probably see some comments from him on the ComTech group, as well as maintaining in contact with them as we advance. And earlier this week, I validated a planned architecture for tunneling for our local implementation of the HamNet mesh network. And what this will enable us to do is connect isolated nodes to each other. So even if we can't have a direct radio connection across the hills and valleys, using the internet, we should be able to connect them. I expect to have a test of this, a demonstration of the tunneling up and running in the next 2 weeks, so look forward to results in that area. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to K2BAR.
Very good, Randy, very good. Thanks for the report. Yeah, I encourage anybody on here that hasn't already done so to get, you know, to get involved with your local Racy's Harry's groups in Ashburn and Passaic County, wherever we may live. And you know, the FEMA stuff online is definitely a nice, easy, leisurely way to go. You know, you can pick your classes and read through them online, download the manuals, and actually, you know, answer a few simple questions and print a nice little Adobe certificate for your incident management courses. And after you finish the original structured one, so you know how everybody works and the pecking order of everybody, you can drill down into some communications courses and everything else. Definitely well worth it. And as far as the HamNet stuff goes, it's very good, very good. Yeah, Keith was due to do a lecture down there. I haven't figured out how that came out yet. He was going to do a broadband talk at a local club, I guess, and I haven't heard how that came out yet. Anybody have any comments for Randy about what's going on and what he's working on? Okay, all right. Randy, thanks for the update. 2 whole weeks for the tunneling? Oh, man. I don't know about that. We're going to have to take a whippy or something, maybe. You must be busy goofing off. Anyway, all right, let's see now. Steve's got a comment. Steve, you around? What you got for us?
This is WIT. Just a couple comments on some radio things I've been playing around this week. In preparation for making some J-poles out of Wireman's 300-ohm transmitting twin lead, I looked on their website and they tell you that the velocity factor is 0.81, which you need to know so you can see the quarter wave network stuff because it's not the J-pole. I read something on the net where somebody said they thought it was 0.82, so I decided to measure it, and I have one of these fancy Rig Expert antenna analyzers, and I was able to confirm what the gentleman on the internet said. It is in fact 0.82 or 0.83, so that gives me a head start on my J-pole activity. And then I'm going to drop. And the other thing I've been working on is a magnetic loop, a small transmitting loop, just under a quarter wavelength long, about 16 feet for 20 meters, and I built that up on a PDM frame. I'm in the process of tuning it and getting it ready, and the object is to be able to take that out of the field. And then the second step of that process will be to add some additional capacitance to it so I can also use it on 40 meters, although it'll be less efficient there. But that's the stuff that's keeping me busy while it snows on the ground and I can't be outside playing radio. So that's it. Back to net. WITW.
Okay, WITW. Okay. good winter projects in the shop with the J poles and the magnetic loop and stuff. Very, very interesting stuff. Any other antenna builders out there that want to compare notes with Steve?
J-E-K.
Go ahead, Don.
Hey, Steve, if you Google the word rock loop, R-O-C-K-L-O-O-P, I built one of those. It's about 34 inches on the side, and it uses a toroid transformer on the one side and a capacitor variable on the other. And I think you had it working on 15 and 20 meters, and I've actually hung another capacitor across the one that was on there to make it work on 40. I actually made a short distance contact with it. But I've worked down at the Caribbean with it once with just my QRP rig down in Pennsylvania. So yeah, they are a lot of fun to try them out. They're pretty good if you get them tuned up just right. That's the trick. Anyway, back to net, W2JK.
Thanks, Don. Okay, very good, very good. You guys passed some good info. Anybody else have any HF antenna information to pass back and forth? This is a good time to just throw out some helpful hints and comments to the guys that are building something in their shop while the weather is a little chilly outside to go install them yet.
Thanks, Tom. I got Rock Luke up. I'm taking a look at it now.
Okay, very good. All right. Let's see now. Mike with a question. All right, comments. As far as I know, the comments are done unless I missed something. If I did, we'll yell in a second. But, Mike, you got a question out there?
DDK, this is KB2MAR. By the way, name here is Gabe, Georgia, Bravo Echo. Let's see if I have it. Question I have is, I'm considering building a bandpass filter to be used on field day. Now, I know you guys are familiar with the situation when, let's say that you're on 40-meter phone and someone's on 80-meter CW. You get that... I mean, that's very annoying after a while. You can't comprehend, can't understand what's going on. So basically, I was thinking of making a Chebyshev-designed bandpass filter. Now, to what order should it be made so that the desired signal doesn't become too attenuated or too distorted? However, it has to be the skirt has to be steep enough to knock out all the interference coming from all the other bands. KB2DDK, this is KB2MAR, back to that.
Okay, KB2MAR. Now here's one of these perfect occasions where I'm going to have to rely on the expertise of the group to at least talk intelligently to you. And I'm hoping Don or Steve or somebody else up there can pick it up.
N1XTU disconnected.
This is WI2W.
WI2W, go ahead.
I was playing around with some filter design a while back, at least in the computer, and I found a really good program called AAGE Filter Design, and I'm running version 4.5. It gives you the option of playing around with lots of different filter designs without breaking out the soldering iron. I hope that's helpful.
Okay. You want to repeat that one more time, Steve? You sort of faded in and out there, right at the crux of the name of the program.
Okay. It's AAGE, Alpha Alpha Delta Echo, Filter Design, version 4.5. If you Google that, you'll be able to download it.
Okay, I got it. James, did you make it? It doesn't sound like we have the resident filter experts on the net tonight, but we have a source.
Okay, let's see if I have it down. It's Alpha Alpha Delta Echo Filter Design? QSL, that's correct.
appreciate that, because I don't want to go in this and make this filter with too many elements in it. Then the signal, the main signal coming in won't come in that good, and then maybe I have a nice steep skirt, which I want, but I have to do it correctly. Thanks for the info, guys. This is KB2MAR, back to net.
Try a 5-pole or a 7-pole.
5-pole or 7-pole. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Very good. Very good. And that is the extent of the comments and questions according to my little quick log here. Wow, I'm embarrassed. We ran through everything right away, and it looked quick. Anybody else want to talk about anything? Any computer or simple questions, or just basic updates on current projects? I tend to be short and sweet and not talk too much. I like to pass things around and listen more than talk. Anyone out there have any comments or just a story they want to pass on to everybody?
W2LCN.
W2LCN, good evening, Rick. You have something for us? I will check you in.
Yes, please, Gary. W2LCN, the name is Rick. Let me see if you want me to throw that comment out there now. I'll send it back over to Net and see if anybody else has anything before I go ahead with this.
No, I didn't hear anybody, and I don't think anybody does right now. They're busy looking for a question to ask just so we can keep going. So go ahead with yours while they formulate something.
All right, so I'm pushing up my little cart going from one room to the next, and there's a slight incline at the end of the hallway. And the cart's wheels lock up sideways, and its whole thing takes a terrible nosedive, crashes to the ground. It's got the laptop on it, and that takes a pretty good shot. And I can see that the screen does not light up anymore, so I've definitely done some kind of damage, but the hard drive, everything else is functioning, and it turns out that there is a backlit tube. I was pretty fortunate because there was a number of computers, same type, in the tech office that were considered to be no good. And, I questioned what that meant. Lo and behold, I found out that they had various problems, none of which were the screens. So I proceeded to pop one of these things open and replace the screen, and lo and behold, I found out that mine was actually a replacement screen, and the original Lumino screen that was put into this PC was fantastic. So it's got a nice clean image now, everything is up and running, and I think this is the second time that I've popped open something like a computer screen or a what is the Amazon little pad, one of these little tablet PCs, the Kindle Fire, and replaced something on the inside of it. And I found out that it was a lot easier than I thought. It was a little scary at first to dive into something like that, but I know you have some experience with that, Gary, and I just felt like passing it out to the net that, with any luck, I'm going to see if I can get this one machine that I took the laptop, or took the screen out of, and turn it into a Linux-based machine. So it was pretty simple. It would cost $53 for me to replace that screen. And overall, it went pretty well. Let me set it back over to net, W2LCN, back to K2VAR.
Oh, wow. Very good, Rick. Very good. Yeah, I've had a little bit of experience with a lot of different devices like that, as screens and, a little deeper into the machine. But, yeah, it is fairly easy once you've done one or two. How is everybody else's experience with LCDs and laptops and notebooks? I've never done a Kindle, but it's bigger than smartphones. Smartphones are real small and tiny. You got to use tweezers, and my eyes just aren't up to smartphones anymore.
N2OEL timeout.
Well, we lost Noel, it sounds like. All right, I guess the computer repair crew is another night. But yeah, that's very good, Rick. Yeah, it's always good. I have too many old notebooks that I refuse to throw away because who knows, someday I may need a part, and that's detrimental to me in the junk closet in a way. But that's very good. are you talking those old Rubbermaid parts? Because we used to stack them with expensive test gear and walk around, and yeah, they used to take a nosedive every once in a while.
No, unfortunately, this is a really nice stainless steel cart, like the type of thing you'd have in a kitchen or something with two shelves on it. And I've never had a problem with it before, but I think it was a combination of the wheels turning sideways at the right time, and there was a little poker chip type thing sitting there on the ramp, all hitting at the same right time to just create this wonderful nightmare of pieces flying. But I've since upgraded it with pieces of oak trim around the outside and a number of different things to house drawing utensils and exacto knives, and it started to work it into a the center of gravity is much lower and much heavier now, but yeah, there was quite a spill. Kids looked like, whoa, that was impressive. They all stopped and helped pick things up, but yeah, the laptop did take quite a hit. But we got it back up and running within the 8 hours we were back in action. And I was really surprised at how easy it was to pop that thing open. One thing I saw was kind of cool. The antenna wire for the Wi-Fi ports run up through the screen, and I thought it'd be kind of nice to put like a kind of SMA connector or something like that to hook up a Yagi antenna. That might be kind of interesting. So anyway, this is W2LPN. I'll send it back over to you, K2BAR.
Okay, Rick. Yeah, thanks for the double heads up, really. First of all, no matter how bad that notebook looks, it is fairly quite easy to swap out a screen if you have a good replacement for it. And the second one is, if you're doing a lot of stuff on a cart, low center of gravity is really good. After all your modifications and stuff, I hope you don't have to return it to the lunchroom. That's all. Very good, very good. Anybody else have anything they want to talk about or mention this evening?
WI2W.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, what was the, is the gentleman that requested the filter info still on frequency? If you could give me your call sign and email address, I got some info for you.
KB2MAR, are you still on channel, James?
I've got his call sign. I'll send him an email. Thanks for that.
No problem. Very good. Okay. Net seems to run quicker when I run it for some reason. I don't know. I like to think maybe I'm more efficient, but who knows. If nobody has anything else, we might as well close it up and let everybody relax for the rest of the evening.
B2JEK.
Don, go ahead.
Yeah, Bergen Amateur Radio Association will be holding an auction on March 9th, and that's 12 o'clock for sellers, 1 p.m. for buyers. That's at the cafeteria at the Westwood Regional High School. Again, that's March 9th. That's a Sunday.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. I got the poster sitting right in front of me here, and I would have forgotten to mention it. So I'm glad you're in there tonight. You're covering me a lot. I appreciate it. all right. One last time for anything. Going once, going twice, sold. All right. Very good. I thank everybody for coming tonight, and we kept the time slot open for a little bit there. It was quick tonight, and there was some stuff that was good, and I appreciate everybody for sticking around. I'd like to thank the Chestnut Radio Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater, and Barra for this TechNet that I enjoy on a Thursday night, and I look forward to it. Sometimes there's lots of people, and we talk well past 10, and other nights it's quiet and we're done early. So tonight is one of those nights. And with that, if there's nothing else going on, we are all free to go watch TV and relax a little bit before the end of the weekday Friday. This is KD2DDK for K2PAR, and we will close the net.
by, Rocky. You're going to have an assembly tonight. WA2ZOZ clear.
Be you clear about JD2BOR?
Well, I just gave you a call and you didn't answer, so I thought I'd clear out.
I didn't hear you, Don. I was in the crypt check and I just turned the car around and I heard WA2COZ clear. How you doing?
I'm okay. I got my hair cut today. Damn, I had so much hair on the floor, I couldn't believe it. I guess I'm turning more into a Woodstock hick, Woodstock type person, even though I was in the service during that time. Woodstock hippie. But I have a nice short haircut now, and I'm glad to have it.
You wouldn't want to see me right now. I'm in so desperate need of a haircut. It's unbelievable. The girlfriend was cragging on me yesterday. When are you going for a haircut? I said, when it gets warmer.
There you go. It's nothing, nothing wrong with looking for the generation that we both grew up in.
Yeah, you got that right. Well, I got the new radio. I got it hooked up. I didn't do any transmitting last night. I was just trying to get myself familiarized with the radio. I did tune up, but I think I'm having a problem already with the antenna tuner, possibly. When I put it on antenna one and make sure everything's all where it belongs, I don't get very good receive. I put it on antenna two, and the receive on the radio comes up, so I got to play with that a little bit more when I get home tonight. Maybe it's just an operator error.
I wish I lived closer to you because I could bring over the Comet Analyzer and the Diamond Analyzer and take care of things. But, well, I'm not that far away, so I'll be visiting you soon.
I'm getting more interference on this Kearney Avenue. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's alarmed or what it is. It just gets carriers into the radio. Yeah, I'll get it straight now when I get home. I was tired yesterday, Don. KD2BOR Friday. I don't even think I've ID'd this QSO. I got to fool around with it. I got to read the book. But I was on 10 meters last night, and I went to a frequency that nobody was sounding like they were using. So I tuned up real quick and just gave a little talk into the microphone, and the SWR looked good, and the power output on the radio looked pretty good.
I have found with the radios that I had purchased, I run into a snag, and all of a sudden, I think, oh, there's something wrong with it. It left the factory with something wrong. And then I found out after I read the owner's manual that that was not the case, and it was human error on the operator's part.
I got a radio right now to turn on and off. I had to get the band to band, upper and lower side band and all that good stuff. So, all right, I'm back at the shop. I got to get my butt moving here and see what I can do here. All right, I got to get after this cab company. I cannot park in front of my own place. I'll be back, Don. Oh, if you're around, I'll get you from inside.
WA2ZOZ returning. I think you're having a few visitors tonight. And one of the reasons I was not going to visit you tonight is I was worried about the parking. So I'll see you soon, Rock. KD2BOR WA2ZOZ.
you.
On this repeater, I was on the 060 machine, seeing if I could hear anybody there, and I said, it's awful quiet out here today. I just came back to this one.
Yeah, I called you when I got down into the shaft, and you didn't come back, so I didn't know what was going on. But good to hear you. I hear you got your radio. Is it all set up?
Not completely. I don't know. I had a problem with the antenna tuner, because I didn't read the book. I wasn't getting much receive on antenna 1. Put it on antenna 2, I was. But then I watched a quick video, which it's a very similar antenna tuner. I watched the AT100 Pro this morning, and I see I was doing the wrong thing switching antennas. So when I get home today, because you've got two antenna ports on the back. So when I get home today, I've got to ground it yet. But had the radio on. My God, Charlie, what a receive. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, very good, very good. Well, I'm glad you like it. It's got the stock hand mic came with it.
Stock hand mic, very heavy power cord. Beautiful. Downsized, but it's nice. And I did tune up on real quick on 10 meters, and my SWR looked pretty good according to the tuner. I plugged in the MC60A. It makes the channel or the frequency go up and down, and I just, talked into the mic real quick, and I had audio going out according to the meter.
Okay, cool. Very good, very good. Well, we'll have to get you set up on a 10-meter repeater to start with. That way we can try to talk to each other. If you can get into the repeater, I'll be able to hear you, no problem.
It all depends how good the SWR is on the Antron 99 all the way up to 29.64 or somewhere around there. I got a fool when I get home. I just threw everything together real quick yesterday on my little table. I've got no room. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my 7900 and stuff like that. But I had a smile from ear to ear. You got to see me yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's always nice getting a package in the mail, especially when it's a brand new radio. Don't forget, it doesn't make any difference what your SWR is on that Antron 99, because you got the tuner. That should tune you on 12 and probably 15 as well. So you'll be able to get into, get up to 29, crap, I can't remember, 620, I think it is, 29620. And 29640, or somewhere around there. You won't have any problem. That tuner should tune you up.
Yeah, I have to bring some. I have to bring some connectors home today to put on the end of the wires. I just got them pushed into the front right now, just to power the radio. A lot of things I got to straighten out. But first of all, I got to make sure that tuner is working right, or that's got to go back right away.
I'm sure it is. They're a little bit, there's a learning curve with those things. It's not your traditional tuner. Just make sure you, whatever port you put the antenna, the Antron 99 on, that's the one you've selected. I owned one of those, I own the 100 Pro, not the Pro 2. And I can't remember, some pushes are rough for a second, some are just a touch, and it'll start going through its, relay clattering, but yeah, you got to read the book. Those things, you have to read the book. You can't figure it out on your own.
N10U KD2BOR. I was on, I forget where I was, maybe 40 meters last night. I think that's 7 point something. I could be wrong. I didn't transmit there, try to tune up, but I was listening to some stations talking out there, and I tell you, I really like the clarity of what's coming out of that radio.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what it sounds like on the MC60. the first thing you have to do with that tuner once you get it set up is you have to put it in, I believe it's auto. Is it auto or manual? No, you got to put it in manual. I'm going to try to download, that's the AT100 Pro 2, right? I'm going to try to download the manual, read it at work so I can maybe help you out if you get stuck, but that video is a good video. It'll go through the whole setup, and I believe it goes through the basic operations of the amplifier. Everything's done by viewing the way the LEDs, the pattern that the LEDs make to tell you what you're in, what antenna you're, well, with the one that I had, it was what antenna you were on. It was all LEDs. You have to watch the LEDs and know what the different patterns mean. But that's probably why they added those two little lights at the bottom, one to tell you when you're bypassing it and one to tell you when you're on antenna. I think it's two.
You are right about that. One is antenna two, one is the bypass light. I did see that, as tired as I was. But when I go home today, I'm going to fool around with it when I'm still a little bit more fresh in the afternoon, because I want to get over there and see if I can start doing some transmissions and see how that MC60 sounds on it.
What I would do, since you have a light for antenna 2, I would put the Antron 99 on antenna 2. That way you know definitively you're on the right antenna. I went nuts a few times because I didn't have those lights on the front like you have. Mine was just the way the LEDs lit up to know whether I was on antenna 1 and antenna 2. And so many times I got confused and thought I was transmitting on one antenna when I was really on the other one. So that light really helps out a lot, but that's what I would do. Put the Antron 99 on the back of the unit on antenna 2, then you know definitively when you're on that antenna.
Yeah, buddy, still got to make sure if I put it on antenna 1 that it's working right. I saw one thing that I was doing wrong. I was hitting the antenna changer, but I was not hitting the function switch first. I saw that on the video, the function button.
Yeah, that's right. You got to press the function first. Yeah, like I said, there's a little bit of a learning curve to it. But once you get it down, there's a lot of things you can do with that. You're really only interested in tuning for, each band change or each excursion on a particular band. Especially if it's a large band like 10 meters, you go from one to the other, including FM. That's quite a range. So you'll definitely need to use the tuner each time you go from one end to the other. Kitty 2BOR and 1LU Mobile.
What I was doing last night before I fell asleep, I was trying to tune up, and I think I got tuned up because on 10 meters my SWR was pretty low. I was doing the tune-up on AM because they're telling me I'm going to use do it on CW like I was doing with the other radio. But AM is only 40 watts, so they've said do it on 25. I got to figure out how to change the power levels on that radio when I get home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. When I was on my tuner, I had a Cat 5 cable that hooked to the radio and to the tuner. So all I had to do was press a button on the tuner to tune the antenna. Yours is going to be a little bit different. You're going to have to generate RF. Mine was a lot easier because I don't have a cable, an interface cable, a Cat 5 for the Alinco. All right, give me a minute. I'm coming up to the mobile station. Let me grab my cup of coffee. Kitty 2, BOR, N1LU Mobile.
Okay, we'll pick it up with you when you get back. Kitty 2, BOR.
N1LU Mobile.
Kitty 2, BOR. I'm just reading EHAM's reviews on this on his antenna tuner. It does pretty good. One guy, he must be out of his mind. He's giving it a 2.5.
Yeah, like I said, you got to take those with a grain of salt, too. I think on my tuner, one guy said it sparked a fire. obviously he was doing something wrong, had it hooked up wrong, or I don't know what he did, but yeah, you got to take them with a little bit of a grain of salt. If the majority of them are good, and one guy's got some horrible review on it, obviously he had a bad experience. But it could have been operator error. LDG is a pretty good company. They have very good equipment. This guy said he's been in the hobby for over 30 years, and he said it was the worst piece of amateur equipment that he has ever owned. He said his manual tuner was a lot better. Well, it's hard. You're not comparing apples to apples. Auto tuners and manual tuners are two different fish. It is what it is. You know, in the manual, I mean, in the auto tuners, it's one of the better ones. It's certainly better than MFJ stuff. And I didn't have a problem with mine, and I bought mine used. And it worked great till the day I sold it. That's why we're human, Charlie. Well, we all have opinions, and we could sing together, but we can't always agree together. You've heard that before. Yeah, I think you'll be happy with it. Just to get off the subject, I talked to Chris, KD2CWW, yesterday on my way home. So he told me he'd have the mic there, I guess, this time tomorrow. You guys are meeting? Yeah, I guess anywhere between 12 and 1 o'clock, somewhere in that area. I got to remember to get Carlos's radio from Debbie's garage this morning. I keep forgetting. I got to write myself a note because I forgot yesterday I was going to bring it down here, and I forgot all about it. And I'd hate to have to go up there while she's still sleeping and open the door and go in and get the radio. I don't think she would be too happy about that. No, not at all. What I do at work when I need to remember something hour or so before I leave work, I tie a string around my finger. That's the only way I can remember. I know that's not plausible for you to do because you use your hand so much. But I'm always forgetting stuff if I don't do that. N10U, KD2BOR. Yeah, I still didn't sell this 850 yet. Got 19 people watching it, and 255 people looked at it. How many days did you put it up for? 3. Yeah, I don't know why people are watching it. Especially if it's to buy it now. Nothing's going to change. Well, if it don't sell this trip, I'm going to change how I put it up there. I still got one more time, maybe two times free advertising it. So, I don't know. I might even throw it on QTH also. Yeah, maybe I'd go to QTH next after this. Save this for another last-ditch effort and then put it up with a, make it a bidding war, but put a reserve on it. You know, the least you take for it. Yeah, I just saved it yesterday morning. I already wrote out a card, was going to put it up on Debbie's door for the guy to leave the radio on the back left patio. At that time, I had a UPS driver pull up with some tires that I ordered. I ran right out the door to help him. I said, by any chance, are you on the North Arlington route also today? He goes, no, I'm not. I said, yeah, I'm just going up to my girlfriend's house to put a note on the door for the driver. He gave me one of those slips they usually leave when you have to sign. He says, sign the slip, print your name, and give the guy some direction to what you want him to do. And if he's a decent enough guy, he'll leave the radio. And that's exactly what he did. Oh, very good. Yeah, my UPS guy usually leaves it on the front doorstep. But I'm usually there when he comes. He doesn't come till like 5 in the evening. Sometimes later, depending on whether it's Christmas season or not. That's cool. Yeah, it's always nice to see that stuff. It was two boxes, I assume. One box. And when I saw the size of the box when I pulled up to her house, I said, what the heck did she get delivered? I said, that's not my radio. But
Oh, lo and behold, when I get up there and see the name on the box, you got to see the packing job they did. I had more peanuts. I could have filled the trunk of my, the bed of my truck up with it.
I guess, I know UPS, when I take stuff there, they will box it for you. Of course, they charge you extra. But I'm wondering how HRO does it, if they have their own boxing staff or whatever at the place, and they box it themselves.
I imagine they box it themselves with the box that it was boxed in for some other product. They must have got a box in.